welcome to ESLPod.com's Business Meetings course, Lesson 8. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. In the 7th lesson of Business Meetings, we learned business vocabulary for managing discussions. In this 8th lesson, we're going to learn how to take questions. That is, how to accept and answer questions from the audience. First, we'll listen to the formal meeting at a slow speed. Mr. Hansen, was Ms. Graff able to allay your concern? Good. Now we have time for only 2 more questions. Ms. Graff?
My question is for Mr. Hansen. I was wondering whether you could expand on the section regarding product design. Am I correct in assuming that you want to offer the product in more colors?
Let me see if I can shed better light on that. Although colors may not be as important to consumers, we are of the opinion that having more variety will increase sales.
Is that the only reason?
Please let me finish my thought. Another reason, which may be beyond the scope of your question, is that the increase in our costs will be small. Have I answered your question?
Yes, certainly, Chris. You've made it clear for all of us. And now for our final question. Mr. Arora?
Given the growing competition, is it possible for us to drop this product and move into a different market? Can you speak to the implications this would have on our strategy?
We did consider that option, but we quickly dismissed it. We believe that we should stick to our core competencies and improve the product we currently have. This part of the meeting begins by Sean asking Chris whether Hannah has allayed his concerns. To allay, A-L-L-A-Y, means to make someone stop worrying about something, or to make something stop being a problem. Sean could have asked whether Hannah had answered Chris's question, and that would mean the same thing as allay. When we say you allay someone's concern, we mean that the person has an answer to their question and they are no longer worried about it. You can answer someone's question, however, without allaying their concern. They could understand your answer but could still be worried about it. So Sean is asking whether Chris has had his concerns allayed by Hannah. Chris nods, N-O-D-S, his head, or moves his head up and down to indicate that, yes, his question has been answered. We use this verb to nod when we are talking about saying yes by moving your head up and down. If you're going to say no, moving your head from side to side, we would probably use the verb shake, S-H-A-K-E. So he shakes his head no, but he nods his head yes. Chris is nodding his head, saying that his question has been answered and his concern has been allayed. Sean says, good, now we have time for only 2 more questions. Hannah asks the first question of Chris. She says, I was wondering whether you could expand on the section regarding product design. The phrase, I was wondering, means I would like to know, or I'm curious about something. You might be wondering or wanting to know whether this is the way people really speak at business meetings, and I can tell you that yes, it is. Hannah is wondering or wants to know whether Chris can expand on the section regarding product design. To expand, EXPAND, on something means to provide more detail about something, to describe something in more detail, or to provide more information. Hannah wants more information about product design. We could expand, for example, on this definition more, give you more information, more details. But I think you probably understand it already. Hannah asks, am I correct in assuming that you want to offer the product in more colors? The phrase, am I correct in assuming, means, is what I am saying right? Is what I am saying the truth? Is it correct? It could also mean, do I understand what you are saying correctly? She's repeating what she understood from what Chris had said earlier. And she's asking Chris to say whether or not she understood him correctly. Did she get the right idea from Chris's explanation? Chris responds to Hannah by saying, let me see if I can shed better light on that. The phrase, let me see if I can shed, S-H-E-D, better light on something, means I'm going to try to explain something better, or I will try to help you understand something better. That is to shed more light or better light on something. In this case, it means that Chris is going to offer another explanation of what he said earlier, using more detail and perhaps different words. Chris says, although colors may not be as important to consumers, we are of the opinion that having more variety will increase sales. To be of the opinion that is a very formal phrase that means to believe, to think, or to have an opinion that something is true. Chris could simply say, we think that having more variety will increase sales, and it would be the same thing, the same meaning. But it's more formal to say, we are of the opinion that having more variety will increase sales. Hannah interrupts Chris by saying, is that the only reason? Before he finishes speaking. So Hannah is interrupting or talking while Chris is trying to talk. Of course, Chris doesn't like being interrupted. So he says politely back to Hannah, please let me finish my thought. To finish your thought means to finish talking about something, or to say everything that you think about something without interruption, without someone else speaking while you are speaking. When Chris says, please let me finish my thought then, he means, please let me continue and finish what I am saying. Chris goes on to say that another reason, which may be beyond the scope of Hannah's question, is that the increase in costs will be small. The expression beyond the scope, S-C-O-P-E, is a little bit like the expression off topic, which was discussed in an earlier lesson. Beyond the scope of something means not related to what is being discussed. Portuguese vocabulary, for example, is beyond the scope of this lesson because it's about English vocabulary. Chris means that one of the reasons for wanting to offer the product in more colors is that it will not increase costs very much. But he thinks that cost reduction isn't related to Hannah's original question. So he says it's beyond the scope of her question. Then he asks, have I answered your question? This is a polite thing to ask after answering a difficult question, because it lets the other person ask for more information, ask additional questions if he or she wants to. Sean speaks next by saying, yes, certainly, Chris. Certainly, C-E-R-T-A-I-N-L-Y, means definitely, without any doubt, for sure. Sean is saying that Chris entirely or completely answered Hannah's questions. I certainly hope that you understand what this new word certainly means. For sure, without any doubt, definitely. Sean says that Chris has made the subject clear or understandable for everyone. He calls on Alex for the final question, meaning he sees Alex's hand raised and gives Alex permission to speak. So Alex says, given the growing competition, the word given, G-I-V-E-N, in this case means considering, with reference to. We might also say in light of. Given the growing competition, when we think about or when we consider the growing competition, given the possibility that it might rain, you should bring an umbrella. That's like saying, if you think about it, if you consider the fact that it might rain, then you should bring an umbrella so you don't get wet. Alex says, given the growing competition or the increasing amount of competition, is it possible for us to drop this product and move into a different market? The phrase, is it possible, means, can we do this? Is it feasible? F-E-A-S-I-B-L-E. To be feasible means you can do it. In other words, Sean is asking, can we drop this product? The verb to drop, D-R-O-P, here means to stop doing something, to leave something, or to no longer use or produce something. Alex wants to know whether the company can stop making this product and move into a different market, meaning produce or make a new product. At the university, for example, you might drop a course, meaning that you stop taking the class. Or you might drop your membership to a local gym or health club. To drop then means to stop doing or stop using something. Alex then asks, can you speak to the implications this, that is, making a new product, would have on our strategy? Can you speak to the implications this would have on our strategy? The phrase, can you speak to something, means can you talk about this thing? Can you address this issue? Can you give us more information about it? Alex wants someone to talk about the implications that changing products would have on the company's strategy or its plans for the future. An implication, implication, is a consequence or result of doing something. It's what something will mean or what will happen if you do something. What are the implications for us not getting gas for our car? The implication would be that you will run out of gas and you will not be able to use your car. That's a consequence or result of something. So Alex is asking what will happen if the company starts making a new product. Sean answers Alex's question by saying that the team did consider that option, but quickly dismissed it. An option, O-P-T-I-O-N, is a choice, a possibility, one way of doing something. When you fly on a plane, for example, they may give you two options for dinner, chicken or beef. The Vision Corporation team had three options: to change the product, to continue to sell the same product, or to begin to make a different product. Sean says that the team did consider the option of making a different product, but then quickly dismissed it. To dismiss, D-I-S-M-I-S-S, something, means to decide not to do something, to decide against something, or to decide not to consider doing something. Sean's team considered the option of making other products, but then they dismissed it or decided that it was not a good idea. For example, you might consider the idea of going to the state of Alaska for your winter vacation, but after looking at the temperature in Alaska during the winter time, you dismiss that idea. You decide not to do it. Finally, Sean says, we believe that we should stick to our core competencies and improve the product we currently have. To stick, S-T-I-C-K, to something means to continue to do something or to use something. To stick to something means not to change what you are doing. For example, you might stick to the same kind of toothpaste for many years, meaning that you continue to use that one kind of toothpaste. You don't change. Sean wants to stick to, or to continue to use, the company's core competencies. A core, C-O-R-E, competency COMPETENCY, is something that your company or business does very well, or something that the company is known to be an expert in. One of Vision Corporation's core competencies is producing or making this product. That's what they're good at. That's why Sean thinks that the company should stick to or continue to make the current product, improving the product instead of deciding to make a new one. Let's listen to these questions and answers at the formal meeting again, this time at a faster rate of speech. Mr. Hansen, was Ms. Graff able to allay your concern? Good. Now we have time for only two more questions. Ms. Graff?
My question is for Mr. Hansen. I was wondering whether you could expand on the section regarding product design. Am I correct in assuming that you want to offer the product in more colors?
Let me see if I can shed better light on that. Although colors may not be as important to consumers, we're of the opinion that having more variety will increase sales.
Is that the only reason?
Please, let me finish my thought. Another reason, which may be beyond the scope of your question, is that the increase in our costs will be small. Have I answered your question?
Yes, certainly, Chris. You've made it clear for all of us. And now for our final question. Mr. Arora?
Given the growing competition, is it possible for us to drop this product and move into a different market? Can you speak to the implications this would have on our strategy?
We did consider that option, but we quickly dismissed it. We believe that we should stick to our core competencies and improve the product we currently have. As you can see, there are a lot of opinions at this meeting, and everyone wants to get as much information as they can. Now that we've heard how they speak at a formal meeting, let's listen to the same conversation at an informal business meeting. I'm afraid we're running out of time. Let's take two more questions.
Let me jump in with a question for Chris. Chris, I think your memo hit the nail on the head. But let me play devil's advocate for a minute. Our focus groups weren't very interested in design. Why are you suggesting that we offer the product in more colors?
I can see your point. But we think that having more colors will raise sales at least a little bit. And we can do it very inexpensively.
Oh, I see. That clears things up for me. Thanks.
Alex, did you have your hand up?
I did. Thanks, Sean. What I'd like to know is whether your team has thought about developing an entirely new product and entering a different market.
Yes, we have, but we've ruled it out for now. We think it's best to use our company's strengths and improve our current product rather than creating something new. Sean begins this part of the meeting by saying, I'm afraid we're running out of time. To run out of time means not to have very much time left to do something, to be near the end of something, or to have very little time remaining. Sean is apologizing that they are almost at the end of the meeting, and there isn't very much time left for more questions. Because there's so little time left, Sean says that he can take only two more questions. To take a question means to allow people who are at the meeting to ask a question. After most speeches or lectures, the speaker often takes questions from the audience. Hannah takes the first question by saying, "Let me jump in with a question for Chris." To jump in means to join a discussion or to begin participating in something right away without delaying. Hannah means that she has a question for Chris and she wants to ask it right now. We also use this expression to jump in when two other people or a group of people are talking and you want to ask a question or make a comment. You might say, "Let me jump in here," or "Can I jump in here and ask a question?" Hannah is telling Chris that she thinks his memo hit the nail on the head. A nail, N-A-I-L, is a long, thin piece of metal that has a point on one end. It's sharp on one end. And you use it to hold together two pieces of wood. You usually use a hammer to hit the nail into the wood. The head of the nail is the flat part on top that you hit with the hammer. Literally, to hit the nail on the head means to move the hammer so that it hits the top of the nail and pushes it into the wood. But here, we're using this expression to mean that Chris is exactly correct or is doing something exactly the way it should be done. Hannah means that Chris's memo said exactly what it should have said. It hit the nail on the head. It addressed or talked about the issues that it should have talked about and addressed. In other words, Hannah liked the memo. But she says she wants to play the devil's advocate for a minute. A devil's, D-E-V-I-L, apostrophe S, advocate, A-D-V-O-C-A-T-E, is a person who presents an unpopular or opposing opinion in order to make the discussion better. The devil is, in Christian belief, the spirit or the force that causes evil or bad things in the world. The devil's advocate would be the lawyer for the devil. An advocate is someone who is in favor of a certain position. A lawyer is an example of an advocate. So the devil's advocate is someone who tries to present another view, an opposite view. If you're at a meeting, for example, and everyone agrees about something, one person may say, "Let me play or be the devil's advocate and give a different opinion." This helps people discuss the ideas and give the idea more consideration. When playing the devil's advocate, and notice we use the verb to play with this expression. In playing the devil's advocate, Hannah says that her focus groups weren't very interested in design and asks Chris why he is suggesting that the company offer the product in more colors. Chris responds or answers her by saying, "I can see your point, but we think that having more colors will raise sales at least a little bit. The phrase, I can see your point, but, is used to mean, I understand what you're saying, but I disagree with you. Or, I understand your opinion, but I think you need to consider or think about something else. Chris means that he has heard and understood what Hannah said, but he has a different opinion. He thinks that having more colors will raise or increase sales. Chris also says that the company can offer the product in more colors without raising costs, meaning it would not cost the company more money. Hannah then says, "Oh, I see," meaning I understand. She says, "That clears things up for me. Thanks." To clear things up means to clarify, to make things easier to understand. I hope that I'm clearing things up by talking about the vocabulary used in this meeting. Next, Sean speaks and says, "Alex, did you have your hand up?" To have one's hand up means to hold your hand in the air, showing that you want to speak or ask a question. When you have a question in class, in a school, you normally raise your hand. When the teacher sees that you have your hand up, he or she might call on you, saying your name and giving you permission to ask your question. Alex says that yes, he did have his hand up. He says, "What I'd like to know is whether your team has thought about developing an entirely new product and entering a different market." The phrase, "what I'd like to know is," means, "I would like to know," "I want to know," or "please tell me." Alex would like to know, or wants to know, whether the team considered the option or the possibility of having Vision Corporation start making a different type of product. Sean replies by saying yes, the team considered that option, but it has ruled it out. To rule, R-U-L-E, something out, means to consider something, to think about something as a possibility, as an option, but then to decide not to do it, or to consider a list of things and decide not to use one of those things. We ruled it out. We decided we weren't going to do it. Sean's team began with a list of options, and one of the ones that they decided not to use was to make a new product. Why? Because the team thinks that it's best to use the company's strengths or core competencies to improve the product it already has rather than or instead of creating a new product. If you get sick when you see blood, for example, you might rule out being a doctor as your career, as what you want to do in your life, because as a doctor, you have to see a lot of blood. Now let's listen to the informal meeting again, this time when they're speaking at a normal speed. I'm afraid we're running out of time. Let's take two more questions.
Let me jump in with a question for Chris. Chris, I think your memo hit the nail on the head. But let me play devil's advocate for a minute. Our focus groups weren't very interested in design. Why are you suggesting that we offer the product in more colors?
I can see your point, but we think that having more colors will raise sales, at least a little bit, and we can do it very inexpensively.
Oh, I see. That clears things up for me. Thanks.
Alex, did you have your hand up?
I did. Thanks, Sean. What I'd like to know is whether your team has thought about developing an entirely new product and entering a different market.
Yes, we have, but we've ruled it out for now. We think it's best to use our company's strengths and improve our current product rather than creating something new. I hope that this lesson has helped you understand how to take questions at a formal and informal business meeting. In our next lesson, number 9, we're going to study the business vocabulary for ending a topic and planning for the future at both formal and informal meetings. This course has been a production of the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Visit our website at eslpod.com. This course was produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. Copyright 2007.